Chapter 2. If I were to be asked how I would remedy this, I would answer, it should be by some method in which every man may be taxed in the due proportion to his estate, and the act put in execution, according to the true intent and meaning of it, in order to which a commission of assessment should be granted to 12 men, such as His Majesty should be well satisfied of, who should go through the whole kingdom, 3 in a body, and should make a new assessment of personal estates, not to meddle with land. To these assessors, should all the old rates, parish books, poor rates, and highway rates, also be delivered, and upon due inquiry to be made into the manner of living, and reputed wealth of the people, the stock or personal estate of every man should be assessed, without connivance. And he who is reputed to be worth £1,000 should be taxed at £1,000, and so on. And he who was an overgrown rich tradesman of £20,000 or £30,000 estate should be taxed so, and plain English and plain dealing be practiced indifferently throughout the kingdom. Tradesmen and landed men should have neighbors fair, as we call it, and a rich man should not be passed by when a poor man pays. We read of the inhabitants of Constantinople, that they suffered their city, to be lost for want of contributing in time for its defense, and pleaded poverty to their generous emperor, when he went from house to house to persuade them. And yet when the Turks took it, the prodigious immense wealth they found in it, made them wonder at the sordid temper of the citizens. England, with due exceptions to the Parliament, and the freedom wherewith they have given to the public charge, is much like Constantinople. We are involved in a dangerous, a chargeable, but withal a most just and necessary war, and the richest and moneyed men in the kingdom plead poverty, and the French, or King James, or the devil may come for them, if they can, but conceal their estates from the public notice, and get the assessors to tax them at an under rate. These are the men this commission would discover, and here they should find men taxed at £500 stock who are worth £20,000. Here they should find a certain rich man near Hackney rated today in the tax book at £1,000 stock, and tomorrow offering £27,000 for an estate. Here they should find Sir J.C. perhaps taxed to the king at £5,000 stock, perhaps not so much, whose cash no man can guess at, and multitudes of instances I could give by name without wrong to the gentleman. And, not to run on in particulars, I affirm that in the land tax 10 certain gentlemen in London put together did not pay for half so much personal estate, called stock, as the poorest of them is reputed really to possess. I do not inquire at whose door this fraud must lie. It is none of my business. I wish they would search into it whose power can punish it. But this, with submission, I presume to say. The king is thereby defrauded and horribly abused, the true intent and meaning of acts of parliament evaded, the nation involved in debt by fatal deficiencies and interests, fellow subjects abused, and new inventions for taxes occasioned. The last chapter in this book is a proposal about entering all the seamen in England into the king's pay, a subject which deserves to be enlarged into a book itself, and I have a little volume of calculations and particulars by me on that head, but I thought them too long to publish. In short, I am persuaded, was that method proposed to those gentlemen to whom such things belong, the greatest sum of money might be raised by it, with the least injury to those who pay it, that ever was or will be during the war. Projectors, they say, are generally to be taken with allowance of one half at least. They always have their mouths full of millions, and talk big of their own proposals. And therefore I have not exposed the vast sums my calculations amount to. But I venture to say I could procure a farm on such a proposal as this at 3 millions per annum, and give very good security for payment. Such an opinion I have of the value of such a method. And when that is done, the nation would get 3 more by paying it, which is very strange, but might easily be made out. In the chapter of academies I have ventured to reprove the vicious custom of swearing. I shall make no apology for the fact, for no man ought to be ashamed of exposing what all men ought to be ashamed of practicing. But methinks I stand corrected by my own laws a little, in forcing the reader to repeat some of the worst of our vulgar imprecations, in reading my thoughts against it, to which, however, I have this to reply. First, I did not find it easy to express what I mean without putting down the very words at least, not so as to be very intelligible. Secondly, why should words repeated, only to expose the vice, taint the reader more than a sermon preached against lewdness should the assembly? For of necessity it leads the hearer to the thoughts of the fact. But the morality of every action lies in the end, and if the reader by ill use renders himself guilty of the fact in reading, which I designed to expose by writing, the fault is his, not mine. I have endeavored everywhere in this book to be as concise as possible, except where calculations obliged me to be particular, and having avoided impertinence in the book, I would avoid it too, in the preface, and therefore shall break off with subscribing myself, Sir, your most obliged, humble servant, D.F., Author's Introduction. Necessity, which is allowed to be the mother of invention, has so violently agitated the wits of men at this time, that it seems not at all improper, by way of distinction, to call it the projecting age. For though in times of war, and public confusions the like humor of invention has seemed to stir, yet, without being partial to the present, it is, I think, no injury to say the past ages have never come up to the degree of projecting and inventing, as it refers to matters of negotiation and methods of civil polity, which we see this age arrived to. Nor is it a hard matter to assign probable causes of the perfection in this modern art. I am not of their melancholy opinion who ascribe it to the general poverty of the nation, since I believe it is easy to prove the nation itself, taking it as one general stock, is not at all diminished or impoverished by this long, dischargeable war, but, on the contrary, was never richer since it was inhabited. Nor am I absolutely of the opinion that we are so happy as to be wiser in this age than our forefathers, though at the same time I must own some parts of knowledge in science as well as art have received improvements in this age altogether concealed from the former. The art of war, which I take to be the highest perfection of human knowledge, is a sufficient proof of what I say, especially in conducting armies and in offensive engines. Witness the now ways of rallies, fougades, entrenchments, attacks, lodgements, and a long etc. of new inventions which want names, practiced in sieges and encampments. Witness the new forts of bombs and unheard of mortars, of 7 to 10 ton weight, with which our fleets, standing 2 or 3 miles off at sea, can imitate God Almighty himself and rain fire and brimstone out of heaven, as it were, upon towns built on the firm land. Witness also our new invented child of hell, the machine which carries thunder, lightning, and earthquakes in its bowels, and tears up the most impregnable fortification. But if I would search for a cause from whence it comes to pass, that this age swarms with such a multitude of projectors more than usual, who besides the innumerable conceptions, which die in the bringing forth, and, like abortions of the brain, only come into the air, and dissolve do really every day produce new contrivances, engines, and projects to get money, never before thought of. If, I say, I would examine whence this comes to pass, it must be thus. The losses and depredations which this war brought with it at first were exceeding many, suffered chiefly by the ill conduct of merchants themselves, who did not apprehend the danger to be really what it was. For before our Admiralty could possibly settle convoys, cruisers, and stations for men of war all over the world, the French covered the sea with their privateers, and took an incredible number of our ships. I have heard the loss computed, by those who pretended they were able to guess, at above 15 millions of pounds sterling, in ships and goods, In the first 2 or 3 years of the war, a sum which, if put into French, would make such a rumbling sound of great numbers as would fright a weak accountant out of his belief, being no less than 190 millions of livres. The weight of this loss fell chiefly on the trading part of the nation, and, amongst them, on the merchants, and amongst them, again, upon the most refined capacities, as the insurers, and sea, and an incredible number of the best merchants in the kingdom sunk under the load, as may appear a little by a bill which once passed the House of Commons for the relief of merchant insurers, who had suffered by the war with France. If a great many fell, much greater were the number of those who felt a sensible ebb of their fortunes, and with difficulty, bore up under the loss of great part of their estates. These, prompted by necessity, rack their wits for new contrivances, new inventions, new trades, stocks, projects, and anything to retrieve the desperate credit of their fortunes. That this is probable to be the cause will appear further thus. France, though I do not believe all the great outcries we make of their misery and distress, if one half of which be true, they are certainly the best subjects in the world, yet without question, has felt its share of the losses and damages of the war. But the poverty there falling chiefly on the poorer sort of people, they have not been so fruitful in inventions and practices of this nature, their genius being quite of another strain. As for the gentry and more capable sort, the first thing a Frenchman flies to in his distress is the army, and he seldom comes back from thence, to get an estate by painful industry, but either has his brains knocked out or makes his fortune there. If industry be in any business rewarded with success, it is in the merchandising part of the world, who indeed may more truly be said to live by their wits than any people whatsoever. All foreign negotiation, though to some it is a plain road by the help of custom, yet is in its beginning all project, contrivance, and invention. Every new voyage the merchant contrives is a project, and ships are sent from port to port, as markets and merchandises differ, by the help of strange and universal intelligence wherein some are so exquisite, so swift, and so exact, that a merchant sitting at home in his counting house at once converses with all parts of the known world. This and travel make a true bred merchant the most intelligent man in the world, and consequently the most capable, when urged by necessity, to contrive new ways to live. And from hence, I humbly conceive, may very properly be derived the projects, so much the subject of the present discourse. And to this sort of men it is easy to trace the original of banks, stocks, stock jobbing, assurances, friendly societies, lotteries, and the like. To this may be added the long annual inquiry in the House of Commons for ways and means, which has been a particular movement, to set all the heads of the nation at work, and I appeal, with submission, to the gentlemen of that honorable house, if the greatest part of all the ways and means out of the common road of land taxes, tolls, and the like, have not been handed to them from the merchant, and in a great measure paid by them too. However, I offer this, but as an essay at the original of this prevailing humor of the people, and as it is probable, so it is also possible to be otherwise, which I submit to future demonstration. Of the several ways this faculty of projecting have exerted itself, and of the various methods, as the genius of the authors has inclined, I have been a diligent observer, and, in most, an unconcerned spectator, and perhaps have some advantage from thence more easily, to discover the faux pas of the actors. If I have given an essay towards anything new, or made discovery to advantage of any contrivance now on foot, all men are at the liberty to make use of the improvement. If any fraud is discovered, as now practiced, it is without any particular reflection upon parties or persons. Projects of the nature I treat about are doubtless in general of public advantage, as they tend to improvement of trade, and employment of the poor, and the circulation and increase of the public stock of the kingdom. But this is supposed of such as are built on the honest basis of ingenuity and improvement, in which, though I will allow the author to aim primarily at his own advantage, yet with the circumstances of public benefit added. Wherefore it is necessary to distinguish among the projects of the present times between the honest and the dishonest. There are, and that too many, fair pretenses of fine discoveries, new inventions, engines, and I know not what, which being advanced in notion, and talked up to great things, to be performed when such and such sums of money shall be advanced, and such engines are made of raised the fancies of credulous people to such a height that, merely on the shadow of expectation, they have formed companies, chose committees, appointed officers, shares, and books, raised great stocks, and cried up an empty notion to that degree, that people have been betrayed to part with their money for shares in a new nothing. And when the inventors have carried on the jest till they have sold all their own interest, they leave the cloud to vanish of itself, and the poor purchasers to quarrel with one another, and go to law about settlements, transferings, and some bone or other thrown among them by the subtlety of the author, to lay the blame of the miscarriage upon themselves. Thus the shares at first begin to fall by degrees, and happy is he that sells in time, till, like brass money, it will go at last for nothing at all. So have I seen shares in joint stocks, patents, engines, and undertakings, blown up by the air of great words, and the name of some man of credit concerned, to £100 for a 500th part or share some more, and at last dwindle away till it has been stock jobbed down to £10. 12 pounds, 9 pounds, 8 pounds a share, and at last, no buyer, that is, in short, the fine new word for nothing worth, and many families ruined by the purchase. If I should name linen manufactures, saltpeter works, copper mines, diving engines, dipping, and the like, for instances of this, I should, I believe, do no wrong to truth, or to some persons too visibly guilty. I might go on upon this subject to expose the frauds and tricks of stock jobbers, engineers, patentees, committees, with those exchange mountebanks we very properly call brokers, but I have not gall enough for such a work. But as a general rule of caution to those who would not be tricked out of their estates by such pretenders to new inventions, let them observe that all such people who may be suspected of design have assuredly this in their proposal. Your money to the author must go before the experiment. And here I could give a very diverting history of a patent monger whose cully was nobody but myself, but I refer to another occasion. But this is no reason why invention upon honest foundations and to fair purposes should not be encouraged. No, nor why the author of any such fair contrivances should not reap the harvest of his own ingenuity. Are acts of Parliament for granting patents to first inventors for 14 years is a sufficient acknowledgement of the due regard which ought to be had to such as find out anything which may be of public advantage. New discoveries in trade, in arts and mysteries, of manufacturing goods, or improvement of land, are without question of as great benefit as any discoveries made in the works of nature by all the academies and royal societies in the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.